Latest circulation figures for the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press are out. Consider this. Where once the News and Free Press boasted sales of over 600,000 copies a day, the Free Press now has fewer than 20,000 daily subscribers and the News fewer than 100,000. Bill Thomas is here. His journalism career began in 1967. Before he retired in early 2012, Bill had been, among other things, executive editor of the Oakland Press, the publisher and editor of the Macomb Daily, and the editor of the Traverse City Record Eagle. And Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry is with us. Jack, you were the national editor of the Detroit News some 30 years ago. Today you teach journalism at Wayne State University. So you've got a professional and personal investment in these papers, and you use the term horrifying to describe the latest circulation figures?
Well, it is, but I think it is horrifying. And whatever you think of, I mean, the newspapers now are not in any sense the same entities that when I was there in the 1980s. But if you just think about it, the Detroit News has fewer than one-tenth the number of print subscribers that did that. It has some more digital subscribers. But together, these papers reach far less than half the number of people either paper reached 30 years ago. It's horrifying because that says something about how well-informed the people of Michigan, metropolitan Detroit, are.
Bill, what are your thoughts on the figures?
Jack's absolutely correct, but everybody tends to beat up on newspapers and predict their doom and gloom and all that type of thing. But I think the problem is more with newspaper companies, corporate problems, than they are newspapers. Corporations have really put the screws to newspapers. They've been mistreated. Staffs have been mistreated, and I think that's what's gotten a lot of the papers into the problems that they are today.
But how so? If the public isn't consuming, how does that have to do with what the corporations are doing?
Well, I think the public is consuming. The public has a thirst for knowledge, has a thirst for information. But what's happened to newspapers, and I think this is pretty well substantiated in internal studies by the newspaper industry, by certain groups, have demonstrated and documented that it's a corporate problem, not necessarily a newspaper problem. Now, is there a problem with circulation? Is there a problem with revenues? Absolutely. But what newspapers are facing now, newspapers as entities, are facing what I call the results of a perfect storm of corporate greed and corporate debt and a collapsing economy. And the newspapers have struggled. Newspapers, again, as entities, have been struggling back against that.
Well, that's exactly right. One thing, and of course, Bill is a publisher. I should defer to him. But most companies operate, most businesses, on a profit margin of maybe 4 to 5%. The grocery store industry is less than that. But you have newspaper companies like Gannett want their papers to return 30% profit or more. If they were content with the kind of profit margins most of American business has, there wouldn't be this kind of crisis, would there, Bill?
No, absolutely, Jack. Absolutely. And newspapers have begun to be treated all over the course of the last, oh, let's say, 15, 20 years as chattel. They've been bought and sold, and which has increased the debt. It's almost, I've referred to it as almost like a Ponzi scheme. These companies, particularly these bottom feeder companies, got into it, bought these papers at exorbitant prices, and then had to buy more papers at exorbitant prices to keep the revenue and the cash flow coming in. At the same time, the papers have suffered, and as Jack said, the profit margins have remained inexcusably high.
Jack, I posted your commentary about the circulation figures on Facebook to see what listeners had to say, and across the board, the common theme was, well, we can read what we want online for free. What problem do you see with that argument?
Well, that people think that, and that's just kind of astonishingly ignorant. The problem is that newspapers still, even now, are by far the major producers of news content. What aggregators, what places like Google do, is they collect stories from newspapers and put them online. Well, if the chickens aren't laying eggs, sooner or later, the store isn't going to have any eggs, no matter how many stores there are. And that's what people forget. I mean, some place, Michigan Radio, to its credit, does create content, but virtually no broadcast media do anymore. They repeat newspapers. They chase stories done by newspapers. And so the big problem to me is in places like Ann Arbor or the state of Michigan. You can find tons of Barack Obama or Jennifer Aniston news, but you can't find news about your state or in many places, even your local community. And to me, that's very dangerous from the standpoint of democracy.
Again, Jack's absolutely right. The thing that we've got to his comment about democracy is absolutely correct. We've moved away to a large degree from, we've forgotten our mission. And years ago, the mission was to make a profit. Everybody has to make a profit. There's no question about that. But for all intents and purposes, the profit was to do good journalism in addition to making people wealthy. But we've moved away from being the stewards of a public trust and the First Amendment, stewards of the First Amendment, to just pocketing a bunch of cash and making corporate executives wealthy. And that's wrong. And what they did, they were asleep at the switch when reader patterns were changing. As I said, the thirst for news and information is still there. I remember back in the 80s, I think it was, there was a researcher, I think he worked for Knight Ridder at the time, and he predicted back in the 80s that today's newspaper would be in a tablet form, very much like we have today. And rather than follow this and invest in this kind of technology and looking down the road to see where newspapers would be, the news industry would be in 20, 30 years from now, they just the corporations just continued to rake in the profits and rake in the money, not reinvesting in themselves. And then all of a sudden, oops, the reader patterns have changed as they were predicted, and people have gotten away from reading the tangible newspaper, the black and white newspaper.
And Jack, some of the comments on Facebook, somebody commented, they don't see a problem there. It's a natural evolution of form. And here was the quote, the responsibility of a news organization is to inform its audience. It doesn't have to do so in printed form any more than radio has to be delivered to an actual radio.
The problem is that this is a capitalist for-profit society, and newspapers, their basis of their profit, of their income, was never getting people to pay for the black and white paper. It was classified advertising. Advertising in general, but classified advertising in particular. And that's all migrated to the internet for free. So the problem now is not really the form of a newspaper. I mean, as a dinosaur, I like paper newspapers, but if people got the same stuff online, on tablets, on their phones, that's fine, except you need the economic basis to support gathering the news. Gathering the news is an expensive, labor-intensive proposition, especially any kind of investigative report, looking at records. You have to have a way to pay for that, and that is the root right now of much of this crisis.
And to both of you, do you have thoughts on how we do find a way to pay for and deliver the journalism that we need to be an informed democracy?
Well, once again, what happened in the transition maybe 10 or 15 years ago was when things started going more to the web, when newspapers were losing classified advertising. There were those that said that, oh, we can't charge for this. We can't charge online for this. Well, you can, and now they're shifting more to paywalls and pay for the information. Now, is this, again, the companies fell asleep at the switch. They got all caught up in web technology, that type of thing, and never put a lot of thought into how they were going to finance and how they were going to raise enough money to produce news stories and news copy. It is expensive. But again, they left the horse out of the barn. Now, how they're going to get it back in and continue to bring in revenue is a challenge, and it might not be possible in the long run.
And Jack, I think of those journalism students sitting in your classroom today. What do you think the future holds for them, for the tomorrow's news reporters and editors?
Well, that's a very good question. I think there'll always be a demand for people who can find information and can write and communicate and present that information well. I think there's going to be a demand in society for information. Robert Kaiser, who was a managing editor of the Washington Post, just retired this year, wrote recently that he was hoping that there was some kid in a garage in Silicon Valley somewhere coming up that'll invent an application that'll enable information to be profitable. I'm very lousy at seeing the future, but it seems to me it might be likely that newspapers may go back to what they were in the early years of this country before the penny press. Newspapers will be pretty expensive, but they'll exist and people will pay for them, people who really need information. The only trouble with that is you sort of have two societies, an informed one and an ill-informed one, and that's not good in the long run for your society.
And speaking of the Post, as we speak, we've heard the news that Washington Post editor Ben Bradley has died. And I've got two veteran newspaper folks on the line here. So I would really like to get your thoughts on what Ben Bradley meant for journalism and for newspapers. Bill?
Oh, Lord. Ben Bradley was every editor and I think staff member writer's idol. That's the way everyone wanted it to be forever. And they don't make them like Ben Bradley anymore. And it's just a major, major loss, I think. I was troubled a little bit by one of the comments in the Washington Post obituary of Bradley this morning. He was in the company cafeteria and just not long ago. And there were employees of the Washington Post who didn't even know, young people who didn't even know who he was. And that's a shame because, God, we can't ever forget the likes of Ben Bradley and John Knight of Knight Newspapers. They were they made it fun.
They made it fun. They were courageous. And one of the obituaries I was reading about Bradley said that he led with his gut and his instincts. He was not a guy who would look at focus groups. He wouldn't want any kind of survey from a marketing firm telling him what people wanted to be reading about. If somebody had given him one, he would have answered it with a profanity. He just trusted that he knew what news was. He knew how to find it. And I think his genius was that he hired good people. He said he always wanted to hire people smarter than he was. And he supported them, gave them their heads. If you want to see what he was like, the best portrayal, I think, is the marvelous job Jason Robards did in All the President's Men. That was Ben Bradley, and that's why people would have gone through a brick wall for him.
Jack, Bill, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Cindy.
Take care. My pleasure.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst. He also teaches journalism at Wayne State University. Bill Thomas is a longtime newspaper editor and publisher who retired in 2012.